Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. And we told you about, 6 weeks ago that there's probably a 12-team playoff coming. If you didn't believe us then, I think you believe us now, because the working group that is made up of conference commissioners and Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame came out with its proposal of a 12-team playoff with some interesting little nuggets added in to kind of satisfy the needs of every league. I don't think they satisfied the needs of the fans. I don't think they really cared about the fans as they were making this, but they did satisfy the leagues. And I think that was pretty masterful, actually. I have one major complaint, which we'll get to. But first, I want to bring on Max Olson, because, Max, you've spent Thursday pouring through the previous 10 seasons to try to figure out what the heck this would have looked like. And, oh, my God, it would have been awesome.
I know you had fun in April, Andy, of kind of playing this game of, well, here's the different models. Let's slap these on different years and kind of see what it looks like. And now that we've got one, and honestly got a very, very specific one of exactly how they would pick the teams, you know, we're not really doing any guessing here of what these past top 12s would have looked like. So, I went through it and, guess what? Bunch of SEC teams ended up making it.
You don't say, Max. You don't say. Yeah. Well, before we get into exactly what these things would have looked like, mm-hmm. let's talk about how they did this and whose interests got served when and where. Because they did some things and compromised on some things that I wasn't sure we'd ever see this bunch do. So, and I'm coming off a conference call right now where I got very salty with them about the idea of playing quarterfinals, semifinals, and the championship game at neutral sites. I think the bowl system needs to be removed entirely from this, except make the Rose Bowl the national championship game. That's not going to happen, but at least the quarterfinals need to be on campus.
I did think it was surprising to hear you scream, hold me back, on this phone call. Yeah.
I basically did. Look, for those who have not heard a recording of it, Bob, I was asking about, you know, why can't you have a game on campus on January 1st? Doesn't that also help you own January 1st? And Bob Bowlesby from the Big 12 says, well, how do you get tickets for the visitors? And I go, you don't. Like, that's the whole point. You don't. The home team's supposed to have an advantage.
You know, it would be nice if the FCS would at least try this and give us some data on whether it even works.
Wait, they do that, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They don't play at a neutral site until the championship.
Special interest, baby. You got to support the Bulls. You know, whatever you do. And look, I'm not cynical about this. I like the model. I'm happy about how this turned out. And we can walk through all the different potential formats of this and sort of nitpick them. Like, this is fine.
I'm only yelling about this.
Yeah.
I just want it on campus because it's better. Like, I want better games. And on-campus games are better than games played in a giant Hershey
Kiss.
Well,
let's take it a step further, Arizona. Because this is something that they just straight up knocked this possibility on the phone call. I want to see a snow game. What's so wrong
with
that?
Hell yeah!
You know?
And you're probably going to. And look,
if that really pisses off Nick Saban or somebody and prevents them from winning a national title, like, I get that. I get the downside. Well, but I would love to see it.
That's what Bob Bowlesby's like. I'm not sure you want to play a game in East Lansing. Or I think he said, I'm not sure anyone wants to play a game in East Lansing on January 7th. You know who does?
Disagree.
Michigan State.
Yeah.
If they're playing LSU, they would love to.
I mean, there's a... I'm with you. I get the fear of that. And look, like, you... Part of the fundamental, like, debate on all this is you don't want to go too far in one direction that... we actually sort of like mess up the selecting of the champion a little bit too much, right? Like, I kind of get there's a balance to that.
The home sites thing would help make it more of an accurate selection.
Right.
Because the better your season, the better your chance of playing at home. You know, the more you accomplish, the better your chance of playing at home. The environment would be electric for everyone in
these
games. And
the way to set up the top four, you know, don't have to host a home game. Well, I'm sure some of them would love to.
Exactly. So, but let's get to the format itself, because I do think that they did a really good job with this. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm just here to bash Greg Sankey and Bob Bowlesby and Craig Thompson and Jack Swarbrick, because I think they did a really good job with the formatting part of it, with something I never even thought about until somebody texted me about it like 3 months ago, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And it turns out they were trying to tip me off. But so you've got 12 teams. The first four have byes. Your 1 through 4 seeds have byes. So let's talk about whose interests are being served each spot. We'll start with the first four. The top four seeds must be conference champions. That is something that the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 have argued for basically since before the 4-team playoff was created, that conference champions should have most favored nation status.
Yep.
And the SEC
and we've
like,
got
oh,
here
no.
because the committee didn't respect that in the past.
Correct. So they are served. That also, and I commend Jack Swarbrick for this. Notre Dame gets the shaft there.
Yeah.
But Jack, very NBY. Smart guy,
yeah,
sees that Notre Dame has a wider path into the playoff, even if it means playing an extra game.
I think it's a really interesting debate, and I'm sure people around there are gonna have it for the next few years here as we ramp up to this. Is Andy, what is a more favorable path? Is it ultimately make the top 10, because if Notre Dame makes the top 10, they're going to pretty much always be in this thing, or B, play for a conference title and either A, win the conference title and definitely be in the top four, or B, lose the conference title game, still have a decent shot of making it in.
Well, that's the thing Notre Dame's going to have to sort of just weigh out as this goes forward, because it may be that Notre Dame could make it every year as a member of the ACC. I think it's harder, but Notre Dame is trading, because remember, Notre Dame made it last year because they were playing in an ACC schedule and because they played in the ACC championship game. That they would not have made it in a normal year if they weren't undefeated.
Right.
Notre Dame is trading now, must be undefeated to make the playoff, for you don't get a bye, but you don't have to be undefeated anymore.
Well, and you know, I suppose in sort of working through all the options, clearly, I mean, look, Jack Swarbrick had one of the four seats at the table, so he was willing to make this concession. Maybe he sees the path is fine either way, or maybe he sees there are other aspects of this that benefit them more than, you know, and you give this up in return.
So let's get into the bigger existential push pull, which I feel like they came up with a pretty elegant solution for. So at issue was automatic bids. If you're the Pac-12,
we all spent a lot of time over the years talking about automatic bids.
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't happen.
Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, all of the group of five. Mm-hmm. If you're any of these leagues, and probably the ACC too, if you're any of these leagues, automatic bids should matter to you, given what we've seen. The SEC, on the other hand, would like as many at-large bids as possible, because they have had the most success getting more in. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the BCS or the 4-team playoff. So I thought Greg Sankey put it really well going into all of this. The SEC was not going to be okay with anything that left fewer at-larges than there were now. And there are four at-larges now.
Right.
So 8 was not going to happen unless it was best 8.
Yep.
And that's... we were all hung up on 8. These guys were thinking 3 levels beyond us because why 8? And then the other solution to this is there are auto bids. But I wondered, how are you going to differentiate the Power 5 from the group of 5?
I think top 6 champs is kind of a brilliant way to fix this.
It is. And they probably could have done the Power 5 champs get in, because They have what's called the Autonomy 5 in the NCAA governance structure. There is, you know, that has been codified. So you could say Autonomy 5 champs get in, and I don't think the Group of Five would have said boo. They would have taken their one spot. Mm-hmm. But now it's possible for a Power 5 champ to get left out and a second Group of Five champ to get in.
Well,
Which would have happened last year.
And there's another great example of that when I went back and looked through it. You look at 2012 when Ohio State has the postseason ban and 8-6 Wisconsin destroys Nebraska in the Big Ten title game. Wisconsin's not making that playoff. And because of that, you create a spot for both Northern Illinois and Boise State to make the playoff instead of an undeserving, you know, Power 5 champ. I think that's the right call in most of these years.
This is interesting because especially you mentioned that. So that would have been a MAC school making the playoff. Last year would have been a Sun Belt school making the playoff.
Yeah.
Conference USA is the only one that wouldn't have made the playoff in the last 10 years.
Yep, you're right.
If this had been in place. And the idea is more participation. And I know we're going to herder participation trophies, blah, 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 blah. No.
Wait, was UCF in USA when they would have made it first time? Possibly.
No, I maybe no they were in the Big East when they were in 13.
Got it.
So the participation trophy, people are going to scream about this, but they use the word participation, which I think is a word they probably shouldn't use just because it's a fairly loaded word right now. But the idea is to have more representation in the playoff so that more constituencies are engaged.
Yep.
Because those people, they're watching more games. They're pushing up the ratings. They're pushing up the ad rates. They're pushing up, they're going to more games potentially. They're spending more on t-shirts. And so all of that stuff matters. And that's what they did this for. They took a look, and this all started after the Alabama-Clemson national title game. That's when they really started looking at this hard. And said,
it's funny that I have to add which one, right? Because
the one in Santa Clara, the Clemson won by a lot.
Right,
that one.
Right.
So they're looking at this and correctly saw they're losing wide swaths of the country here. They're losing entire leagues in mid October. Mm-hmm. You don't want that. You want them engaged through December. Well, now, I mean, everybody in the top 25. In November, has a chance to make the playoff. Like at the beginning of November, everybody in the top 25 probably has a chance to make the playoff still.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, so I, you know, in going through this study of looking at 2011 through 2020, the thing that stood out to me, look, did Alabama and Clemson and Oklahoma and Ohio State make it a lot? Yeah, absolutely. But bottom line, and I know that. This working group that we heard from today, I know they've mapped this out because they've cited statistics from what the last 5 years look like. But if you look at a 10-year period, it's not just the powerhouse getting in. There's a total of 44 programs that get into the playoff at least one time. And you may say, well, that's probably too much, that it still should be the top 10, 12, whatever winning titles. And they probably still will. But Andy, I would argue that to be able to say we made the playoff, I think is going to just do way more for your program in terms of rep and recruiting and fundraising and all of that than to say, oh, we went to a New Year's Six Bowl and you know, got our asses beat. Like, that doesn't really do a whole lot much for you. And I think that's so important just for the parity of the sport, for more people that are trying to catch up to the top, to be able to have this access and enjoy all the benefits of making a playoff.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Well, and let's talk about, because I think the programs you're talking about are Power Five programs that right now are never making a 14 playoff.
No.
They're just not going to. Even if they get good, they're not going to.
Even at 11-1, they're not getting through probably.
Yeah. So listen to who would have made it between 2010 and 2020. Arkansas. Missouri. Now, Missouri was in the Big 12 in 2010. Who knows if Missouri stays in the Big 12 if they're a playoff? I don't know. Oklahoma State, Wisconsin, Kansas State, Stanford. You know, Michigan State has made a playoff. Florida State has made a playoff, but they make it more often. Mm-hmm. TCU, North Carolina, like.
Penn State's making it way more often. Yeah, I mean, Colorado makes it 1 year. Arizona makes it 1 year. Like, it's a legitimate chance to reward that one great season that, you know, so far is just rewarded by, you know, a potentially a big New Year's Six Bowl win. And I'm not trying to diminish those, but I think it does way more. And then if you look at this 10-year period, obviously the access piece of it that's so important, I think you would, based on the rules they set out, a group of five team would make it, nine group of five teams would make it over a 10-year period. And part of that is because Notre Dame would also make it four times. But, I think that, and certainly there are cases where it's UCF or Houston or, you know, Coastal this year, Memphis last year, where you're saying these are pretty good teams that just deserve a shot to try and win a game.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I just think you've got so many more people engaged and interested at this point. And look, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think the 14 playoff would cause as many unintended consequences as it did. And maybe this is going to cause some unintended consequences. But you look at what has happened in the game. You look at the opt-outs from bowl games. And you're having opt-outs from New Year's Six bowl games. I'm not sure anybody's going to opt out of a playoff game.
No.
Maybe someone will eventually. But that seems like a much lower likelihood than a Cotton Bowl or a Peach Bowl that has no stakes.
Yeah, I mean, great example last year. Like if Florida's playing, you know, Iowa State in a first round of a playoff, you would think we're going to see a very different Florida team than the one that showed up, you know, to play Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl and acted like their season was already over. So I definitely think that. I think that is going to make a difference. And, look, the truth is obviously, as you talk through all the models, there's going to be some years, Andy, where we say, yeah, we didn't need 12 this year, right? That's just going to happen.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And,
but is that really something to get that upset about? Because those teams are still going to get, you would think, knocked out in the first round and you end up with the playoff you would have got anyway.
Well, and they're going to, I mean, there've been years where you say you don't need four and that's okay too. What I want are some good games that get you there.
Yeah.
There may be a team, this may happen a lot. It happens a lot now. There may be a team that is head and shoulders better than everybody else, and they win the national title. I want good games, though. Mm-hmm. You know, look, Baylor was head and shoulders above everybody else in basketball this year. We didn't know it till they played Gonzaga, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean there weren't great games in the NCAA tournament along the way. Yeah. So I want to see in those first round games that are taking place on campus, I want to see those games seem pretty awesome. Now, last year, it's hard to believe if you said Indiana A&M is a playoff game at Kyle Field, Iowa State at Florida and Gainesville is a playoff game, Georgia going to Nippert would have been a playoff game.
And we know that was an excellent, super close, well-matched game. And honestly, I think the way that would have set up last year, I'm not saying Coastal would have beat Notre Dame, but I actually do think all four of those first round games, Coastal, Notre Dame, Indiana A&M, Iowa State, Florida, Georgia, Cincinnati, like think those are all pretty compelling games. I'm not saying it totally changes how the postseason goes, but I'd be a lot more interested in those than some of the New Year's Six games we got.
Well, and the other thing about it is, okay, let's hypothetically, if Georgia beats Cincinnati, Georgia's playing Alabama in New Orleans or Atlanta or somewhere, but you know, according to their dumb model, it should be in Tuscaloosa. But with JT Daniels,
mm-hmm.
is that a different game? I don't know. But yeah, I'd like to see it.
That's another expanding it also puts on the table more possibilities of rematches. And I can see why some people would be bothered by that. But we've also seen a lot of years. And, you know, obviously the famous example is you know, LSU and Alabama playing again. But there's obviously going to be some times when that second matchup is pretty awesome.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes teams change throughout the year. And sometimes it's a different game. It's interesting because I have always thought, you know, 8 would be a good number. I wouldn't want to see him go past 8. But I do feel like I want to give him credit here for thinking about the regular season in several different ways. The conference, if you're an SEC person, you may be saying that conference champion only top 4 makes you mad because your team might wind up being the third best team in the country but doesn't win the SEC title because that's the best team in the country. And you've got to play an extra game.
By the way, let me cut you off there. So the last 10 years, okay? Let me read off to you what the 5 seeds are, okay? This is because of the at-large rule they set that no at-larges can be in the top 4. And I'm not saying I agree with that rule, but I'm just going by it, okay? Notre Dame, Georgia, Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, Iowa, Baylor, Alabama, Notre Dame, Alabama. So it's these years where Alabama hasn't won their league but is still making the playoff, this is kind of fixing that a little bit where they have to go through it without the bye and prove, even though they didn't win the conference, that you know, that they're the best team out there. I like that.
Well, and also it adds a little bit of chaos to it where they could come in against a team that had a bye and just wreck them. Like it's possible. And but what that also does, because I remember I went on Feinbaum after Stuart Mandel and I wrote the story in late April that they were probably looking at 12. And Paul asked me, what about the SEC championship game? What about the stakes of the SEC championship game? Well, now you've got stakes, because if you lose the SEC championship game, you cannot have a bye.
Right.
And you may be getting knocked out of hosting, but you can't have a bye.
Well, and Andy, put yourself in Greg Sankey's shoes. This setup, doesn't this kind of give you everything you want and none of the things you don't want?
I feel like it does, because listen, I know how they think in the SEC office, and I know how they think in these SEC programs. They're looking at this and going, we can get 7 teams in.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen probably that
right.
much. But there are years where they could get 5.
So over a 10-year period here, going through this and following their rules, I came out to 32 SEC bids in over 10 years. I'm sure Greg Sankey says 3.2, we could beat that most years because 100%. Of the quality team. And there's absolutely a year like 2012 is probably going to happen decently often where you've got Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, and Johnny Manziel's Texas A&M all in the field there.
That's the year that just would fascinate me, because that A&M team probably was the scariest team in the country at the end of the season. It had lost to LSU in Florida. It had beaten Alabama, though. And Georgia was really good coming off that loss to Alabama. That would have been amazing.
And the way that sets up, so A&M would have to go through Oregon, which was, you know, obviously a good Oregon team back then. But, you know, from there, they'd play, you know, Kansas State and then potentially take on Bama or you know, one of these. I mean, they could have made a run. And I don't think, like, there's going to be years, I think, when we'll have, like, you heard today, like, the commissioners mentioned, like, it's just not going to happen very often that a team that isn't a top 4 seed wins it.
I disagree.
Is that worth being upset about? I kind of disagree. Like, I think the way this sets up, especially when we're going to slot good teams in the 5 spot because they didn't win their conference, like, I think there's a decent chance we're going to see some 5 and 6 seeds or even lower potentially make a run.
I know nobody wants to hear the NFL comparison, but the team that had to play an extra game and had to go on the road the entire time just won the Super Bowl. Yeah. We've seen that happen. I mean, the Bucs had to go to Lambeau Field in the winter where Bob Boolsby says it's impossible to play.
Yeah.
Where human, it's not fit for humans to be there. And they played a football game and the team from the South won. So
it's true. It's
doable.
Wait, they allow winter games in on fields and other. They do.
It's amazing.
That's wild.
It's crazy. And they don't worry about how many tickets the visiting team gets. They just tell them, you know, good luck.
I want some snow games, man. I don't think that's too much. I know I'm based out of Lincoln, Nebraska here, so I'm biased. And you being down in Gainesville, if you're not rooting for that, covering one of those, I understand. But
I am 100% rooting for it. Good. I love anything that causes chaos and anything that looks cool on my TV. So I want all of that. And yeah, I hate snow, hate cold, but I'd sign up for that.
Do you think, Andy, the way this sets up, like, do you think the SEC, again, like, I don't see what there is for that. Like, I don't really see, let me back up, because this was asked on the call, and I think it's an astute question. I think Heather Dinich asked it. Like, honestly, what hurdles exist still at this point? Don't you think this thing is just going to pass right through?
Yes. Now,
there's details to be discussed, obviously, but
I do wonder about the home game quarterfinals and bowls thing. I have a sense that they have to appease the bowls for what's left of the current contract. Mm-hmm. Remember, they're on a 12-year contract, and they're gonna start this new thing probably with the 2023 season. And I think they probably have to incorporate those bowls one way or the other, because everybody has to agree if you're going to rip up the existing contract. So you either write them checks, and I'm not sure there's a check they'd take because they want to be part of it.
Right, right.
And then you kind of figure it out. So, but I think that's the only thing that's going to be a stick that might be a potential sticking point that somebody may say, well, why don't we put them on campus? There will be more public pressure about that. Everybody else seems to be on board with the format. You know, other than the people who don't want the playoff to expand and never wanted the playoff in the first place, they're going to yell about it. They hate it. But if you read our reader survey, like, that is a very small group of people. They're really loud on social media, but they're minuscule in terms of number.
No, it's a good point. And certainly I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this access sort of changes some of the kind of narratives around conferences too. Andy, it would have been beautiful to see the last hurrah of Larry Scott is that Coastal Carolina bumps out Oregon for a spot in the playoff. That would have been sort of a fitting farewell. Ooh. But you go through the 10 years of this, and I added up here, 32 spots for the SEC, 23 for the Big Ten, 17 for the Pac-12, and 16 for the Big 12, 14 for the ACC, and I'm including
that's
last
the interesting
year's
Notre
Dame spot. Right.
The ACC is the only one other than the SEC that has made it every year in the existing playoff. So I think the assumption would be, well, the ACC's done great. This has been
fantastic. You would think, well, they always got Florida State or Clemson over these 10 years. But
well, one Florida State and the rest Clemson.
Correct. Correct. So 14 for ACC, 9 for Group of Five, and then 3 for Notre Dame, the independent, you know, not counting last year, obviously. So, you know, I think that you look at those numbers and, like, I kind of think all those commissioners probably would say, I can live with that. You know, that's better than what we got, you know?
Well, and I thought Bob Boolsby put it well when he said, some of us didn't realize how hard it would be to be on the outside looking in when they created them. Now a lot of these folks were not there for the creation of the playoff. Or like Greg Sankey was an associate commissioner of the SEC, but Mike Slive was the commissioner. Boolsby was brand new when all this stuff was happening. Chuck Ninus had handled a lot of the details of this. And so I'm not sure they, you know, the current group got much say in how this was going to work and then had to deal with it. And so if you're Bob Boolsby and that first year you think you might get two in and all of a sudden you're getting zero in, that's pretty rough.
And then and that stuff, like, just directly affects the way that those guys are perceived and how they do their jobs. And we saw that in the Pac-12, obviously.
Right.
I think it's gonna save, you know, a lot of headaches for people. And look, I also don't think that at the end of the day, you know, there's gonna be some years when it's a pretty stacked 12, and that's gonna be awesome. But I also don't think we're gonna spend that much time fretting about, oh, that is really a bummer that 13 got left out. However, one example of that would be,
of course we will.
The one I would say the one like outlier there is 2019 Alabama would not have made it.
Interesting. That is very interesting.
Yeah. Probably could have won it. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that because Tua is hurt, but we saw what Mac Jones ended up being. So they would have missed it. They would have been mad. And Alabama would have made it. 2019 Alabama
played in the Citrus Bowl. So it's, you know, it's not really.
Sure.
That's not a team you expect competing for the national championship. So
sure.
But you're right. It is. There will always be arguments. There will always be somebody mad. That's a feature of college football. That's not a bug. So we're going to argue about
this. We're still going to second guess the committee on how they picked the six at-larges and all that, of course.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The only thing I would prefer is more games on campus. Like, I could even live if you want to keep the semis in bowls. Because here's how you could do it. Now, my perfect world, the perfect world is first round, quarters, semis on campus. The Rose Bowl is the national championship game every single year. It becomes your Omaha, or yeah. I guess in 1AA or in FCS, your Frisco.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you do that. I don't think they would do that. And here's why. Because the Big Ten and the Pac-12 run the Rose Bowl. The SEC and the Big 12 run the Sugar Bowl. And the ACC is partners with the Orange Bowl. So my guess is they would protect those bowls as much as they could. So how about let's do this. On campus, first round and quarters, New Orleans and South Florida are your permanent semifinal spots because those are both destinations, both places lots of people want to go at that time of year. And then the Rose Bowl is your national championship game.
So short straw goes to Dallas, I guess, in that setup. And
Dallas, Atlanta, and Phoenix.
And Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, look, I mean, you got convention business, you got everything else. It's not that bad.
I don't know about how, you know, maybe I'm sure they will try and find some way to keep rotating the semis, but I'm good with that plan. Yeah, I'm good with that for the quarters.
I think that would be fine. And that keeps your business interests aligned. Because that's the thing. Like, the bowl stuff is cronyism until you get up to the Orange, the Sugar, and the Rose, where it's not cronyism. It is actually a business interest of the league.
Mm-hmm.
It is a revenue generator for the league. So that's the part where I don't mind them protecting that. But when they're protecting the Peach Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl, that's not in their best interest. They're not protecting their own best interest. They're protecting their cronies. So don't do that.
Right. Having gone, you know, with you to, you know, the Bay Area for that national title game, and, you know, I'm not knocking that place in general. I'm just saying,
beautiful place. Doesn't need to be the host of the national title game in college football.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's lessons to be learned from that to just say, hey, you know, yeah, a lot of people are going to cry that you're, you know, destroying traditions and stuff. But I mean, shoot,
when is this sport actually cared about tradition?
People would love to make that pilgrimage to the Rose Bowl if they made it to the end. I absolutely agree.
You know, it was a great tradition. Oklahoma and Nebraska playing every year. That tradition went away. You know, it was a great tradition. West Virginia and Pittsburgh playing every year. That tradition went away. Auburn and Florida played every year. That was a great tradition. They didn't even change leagues and that tradition went away. Like,
I think Texas used to play A&M. That was good too.
Once or twice. Yeah, I think it might have been near a holiday.
I'm sure that'll come back soon. Pretty soon.
So stop saying you care about tradition. We know you don't. Do the thing that will give us more interesting games that are better to watch on television and easier for people to get to. Like, use common sense and make more money in the process.
Oh, there's going to be a lot more money. That part of that, we don't even have to really sort of like delve into that in the pocket. Yeah, they're good. They'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, look, if you'd asked me a year ago, hey, what do you think about that 12-team playoff that's coming? I'm like, first of all, you're nuts that there's no 12-team playoff coming. That's not going to happen. And then I'm like, no, it's supposed to be 8. But now I'm good with this. I will say, as much as I've criticized those guys for the bowl site thing, they got the other part of it, I think, right in a way that we weren't even considering. And I think that's pretty good.
I think Bob Bowlsby and Greg Sankey, I'm pretty sure what they would tell you is, if that's the thing that we made you mad about, then we did a pretty good job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it, especially having dealt with these folks over the years and seeing what they wind up arguing about, the rabbit holes they go down in these arguments where they then can't come to a consensus.
The precedents they get stuck in and all that. Yeah,
right,
of course.
Right. They can't come to a compromise. They did a great job coming to compromises here. They really did serve all of the different leagues' interests. The top six conference champion auto bid, I'm telling you, that was a stroke of genius. Whichever one of those folks came up with that one, gold star, give yourself a bonus, get John Junker to take you to a strip club, and you know it's you deserve to be rewarded. It was really smart.
I want to ask you this because I know that you love to tangle with people on Twitter. Let's just call it what it is.
I'm trying to stop.
Certainly, like over the past few years, like if any of us tweets out like, hey, here's what the 18 playoff would have been this year if they had one, right? You get hit with a flood of people being like, shut up. That's stupid. Don't talk about that. That 8 would be worse, right? So like, how do you think... And I'm not saying we have to sort of like concern ourselves too much with the trolls, but do you think the response from fans overall, just setting aside the site topic, but do you think the response from fans overall to 12 is going to be, yeah, it's actually pretty awesome? Or do you think there is going to still be that faction? And you did the survey, so you kind of had the numbers, but is there going to still be that faction that was like, this was always stupid, I never liked this, it always should have been 4 or less?
The 13% or whatever it was is going to feel that way.
Yeah.
But the vast majority just want to see better games. And, you know, I don't blame them. I just think that's the whole point of this. Better games, higher stakes, more interesting everything. So I think that's what we've got to go with here. And, you know, I can't wait to see this. I really can't. You know, my one quibble is the quarters being at bowls, and I'm hoping they fix that before they approve it. I don't think they will, but I hope they do. But I think we're going to get good games out of this.
I know.
That's all I want.
What if we had a really badass playoff and a college football video game in the same year?
Oh, by the way, the players can also make money from whoever wants to pay them.
Wow. You know, you talk to coaches and they say the future is very, very scary, but I think this all sounds pretty good.
This sounds amazing. Can't wait.
Let's go.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks, man.